Hello? Hello? I gotta figure out where I can put this thing. The wires are a little bit short. Can't put it in my pocket. Oh, Father God, Father God. We give you praise, honor, and glory this morning, Lord. Oh, we lift you up on high, Lord. We thank you for all the things you're doing in this ministry, Lord. We thank you for the pastors, Joe and Jelaine, Lord. We lift them up to you to keep them, Lord, as you've been keeping them for the last 9 years, Lord. We know it's hard to leave your side, Lord. It's like a we're giving up on you when we're not here on Sunday, Lord. It's like a pressure that comes down on us, Lord, when we miss your service, Lord. And I know it's even more for the pastor, Lord. We want to be with you each and every day of our lives, Lord, and we thank you for all the things you do. You put us in a free country to where we can come out and give you praise, honor, and glory each day of our lives, Lord. Oh, we thank you wholeheartedly, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your Son that went to the cross for us, Lord, for our sins. Oh, for our forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you send each and every day to us with the knowledge we need to get through each day, Lord. I lift up myself to you this morning, Lord. Use me as you see fit, Lord. Use my tongue, Lord. Use my whole body, Lord, as you would see fit, Lord. Give me the words that your children need to hear this morning. Give me the way you want me to go, Father. Oh, Father, we lift up your Son this morning, Lord. We give him praise, honor, and glory this morning, Lord. Oh, for when it says in your word that we need to lift up your Son, Lord. He took that mile-long journey, Lord, up to Calvary's mountain, Lord. He was nailed to that cross, Lord. He was nailed to that cross for us, Lord, that we could be free to worship. Lord, we know when he went to that cross, it was finished, Lord. All the things that we need to do from now on, it is finished. We need to claim it in our lives, Lord. We need to take it, and we need to go out and witness, Lord. We need to do the things in your life, Lord, in our lives, Lord. We need to follow by example, by your example, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father, for all the things you do for us in this ministry, Lord. Oh, we thank you wholeheartedly. We thank you for them children that are at the children's church, Lord. We thank you for the children that are in the nursery, Lord. Oh, we know that you're lifting them up so they can follow you also, Lord. We thank you for all the things you're doing. We thank you for the hands of protection that you're putting around each and every one of us today, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you for protecting the kids. Our kids that are abroad, Lord. The ones that are out of the country, Lord. The ones that are just out of state, Lord. Our sons, our grandsons, our brothers, our sisters, Lord. We lift them all up to you, Lord, for you to do a work in their lives. Keep them protected, Lord. Keep a hedge of protection around them, Lord, that they would come back to us safe, Lord. And we know that our word will not fall on false ground, Lord. We know that you take each and every word that we give you that's in your will, and you put it to your heart, Lord, and you do your will. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We got to give them praise, church. We got to give them praise. We got to spend time with him. It's been on the pastor's heart for a few weeks now that we need revival. Revival starts in each and every one of us. It's in our soul. We need to revive it. But I cannot revive it for you. Pastor cannot revive it for you. God can give us the words we need to say to direct you in the right place. He can send an angel to guide you. He can send the Holy Spirit to tell you exactly what to do. But it's not on us. It's on you as an individual. I've been reading a lot of Paul, and I didn't start this with Paul. A few weeks ago, when a pastor asked me if I would preach and what day I wanted to preach and all of that, idols came to my mind. The number of idols we have in our lives, and I'm not talking about human idols. I'm talking about the vices that we have in our lives that crushes our walk with Jesus, with the Father. And the only reason it came to me is because I'm totally at fault. Maybe somebody else in here is too. Maybe that's why God gave me the word. But I know I need help. I have a story that I'm going to tell you, and it's from the Bible. It's the Israelites. How many of you in here think that we are so much like those Israelites that left Egypt? Every time I read that story, I could put my name in there. Because we do the exact same things that the Israelites did. We do the exact same thing. And it's really heavy on my heart when there's two shows I really liked. NCSI, you ever watch that? And Gibbs would slap. NCSI. Yeah. And he would slap him in the back of the head. That's what the Holy Spirit does to me a lot. Oh, Lord. He does hit me a lot. And a lot of times he scares me. You ever watch the cooking show with Emerald? Bam! He bams me off something. Like, wake up. That's what revival is. It's waking up and renewing your walk with God. It's waking up and renewing your walk with God. In Philippians 3:14, if you could bring that up, that's around page 2072. If y'all want to go straight to it, y'all have the exercise at the bottom. Did I not put it on the list? Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. Philippians 3:14. This is Paul. I found out this week Paul wrote most of the Bible. Am I saying that correctly? Wow. Yeah. That was a lot. So he said right here, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus. We want to continue pressing on the mark. Who wants the prize that God gives? Whose eye this morning is on the prize? And the prize I'm talking about is Christ and Him crucified. Because that's where our eye should be all the time. If we continually keep our eye on Christ and Him crucified, everything else will just fall into place. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect. Because everyone in here knows there's nothing perfect on this earth. The only thing that was ever perfect on this earth was when Jesus walked this earth. Once he went back to the Father, he put us back to where we were before he came. That's probably why we're so much like the Israelites. we tend, as a people, to go back to the way we were before. It's hard for us to keep going forward because we honestly don't know what's over there. And that scares us. But we know what happened when we did this over here. So it was safe. I'm not saying any of it was wrong, but that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to work to perfection. He's coming back for a perfect church. So we want to continue walking forward. Every time I step up here, I take a step of faith that God's going to give me the words I need to say. Every time I walk out the house, I have the faith that God's going to protect me to get me where I'm going. Every time I sit down and I eat lunch, I know I'm blessing God for that lunch He gave me. So we're keeping God and Him and Jesus and Him crucified in our hearts all the time. Because at the cross it was finished. We wouldn't have had our salvation if it wouldn't have been finished. Marjorie wouldn't have had her healing on her shoulder if it wouldn't have been finished. We wouldn't be able to go into other countries and teach kids and do other things if it wouldn't have been finished. Because I believe this world would be in chaos right now. The only thing that's keeping this world together is Jesus and Him crucified. We live in one of the best countries that anyone could live in. I'm not saying it's the best because I don't know all the other countries. I just know Jesus and Him crucified. That's what I want. That's what I want. I talked about the Israelites earlier. And the Israelites were in bondage. We're in bondage. They cried out to God to save them. We cry out to God to save us. That's why we're saved today. We call on His name, and He saved us. He made a way for the Israelites to go free. He made the way. He brought in Moses. Just like Moses, I don't stutter, but I'm not a good speaker. I don't speak well. But I knew that was going to happen. Start the false office. Answer it before you go because you'll hang up. I'm waiting for my blood. And I know it's not right. I already got my results.
Yeah, hold on.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. He took Moses, a man that couldn't speak well, wasn't a public guy, with his family and his sheep and all that stuff. He didn't know anything about that. And God took him and raised him to go out and free the Israelites. Just like He took Job, put him behind this pulpit to lead us. Just like. So a lot of things in the Old Testament are exactly the way it goes today. There's a good reason I'm going here. Now the Israelites and Moses had a fight to get away from the Pharaoh. Just like we have a fight to get away from the devil each and every day. You may not even know it, but there's an angel fighting the devil right behind you most of the day, keeping you protected from his wicked ways. And when they did get the freedom, they left. And they started their journey to the promised land, to the land of milk and honey. That's where we are now. We're in the land of milk and honey. We have freedoms that a lot of people don't have, and we just take advantage of them. It's just second nature to us now. We've known it since we were born. So as they're going, God calls on Moses. And Moses has to go on a mountain and speak with God. We speak with God a lot. Maybe not exactly like Moses. Brother Joe, maybe that doesn't speak to God like I do. Andrew, Cameron. God doesn't speak to all of us the same way. That's why he had four gospels. He spoke to John one way, he spoke to Mark, Luke. He spoke to all of them different. So, he brought Moses to the mountain. So Moses was up in that mountain for years and years. Joe's only been out 2 weeks now. But what happened in those years that Moses wasn't there to show him the way? God was there during the day as a cloud. So God was with him. At night, a pillar of fire. So God was with him. But they took their eyes off of God and put it on Moses. If Moses is not here, well, I'm going to do this. Because he don't care about us. It's not what Moses cares about. It's what the Father cares about. The Father was there at night. You know how dark that place is at night with no street lights? It's hard for us to imagine unless you go hunting. And you go on a sleepover or something like that, and you're in the woods, and you're camping, and that sun goes down. What happens to the light? If clouds are out there, there's no light. There's no full moon to give you light. It's like stepping in that closet right there with the door closed. So that's what they would have been in that wilderness. They couldn't have moved at night. They'd have had to stop, sleep, and pray that nothing bit them at night. That's pretty bad. But God was there. He gave them the light they needed at night to survive, and he gave them the cloud they needed during the day so that hot sun didn't cook them. It says in the Word, their shoes never fail. My shoes, I've been running on them for 2 weeks, and I need a new pair. God makes the way for us. But in that time that Moses was on the hill, they lost faith. They came down on themselves. When we talk negative, or we start wondering why this person does that person does that, what happens is, the devil comes in and sees you going down. And he starts using that. What is he here for? To kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can destroy God's children and bring it to his side, he's going to do it every time. He's there. So what he did was start planting seeds in each one of the Israelites' minds. Because they started taking their eyes off of God and put it on Moses. Moses wasn't there. So, you don't need Moses. You don't need Pastor Joe. I'm sorry. You don't need Pastor Bukin? That's how you pronounce it. Bhutan. You don't need Pastor Bhutan to go to the Father. You need him up here preaching the Word, yes. Because the Word says that. We need preachers. We need teachers. We do need him up here. But we don't solely depend on him. they solely depended on Moses. Well, Moses was about the Father's business, like Jesus was. He was taking care of business. The Father called him, he went up. Now, what the Israelites needed to do was sit down and praise God for all the time that he brought us, the light that he gave us, the coolness of the clouds. But they didn't do that. We don't do that either. When we're away from church, when we're away from the pastor, when we're away of brothers in the Lord, when we're not with them, our mind gets weaker. We have so many devices in this world now that can take us from the love of God. We have so many devices in this world that can bring us closer to God. The same device that's going to take you from the Father is the same device that can bring you closer to the Father. It's on your heart to do what you have to do with that device. My iPhone, I read a lot in the Bible. I'm going to read a scripture from 1 Corinthians, another one. And I found it on my phone because that's where I was on my phone. I deleted an app today, this week, that was not bringing me closer to the Father. Because the whole app wasn't bad, but they had bits and pieces in that app that I was not supposed to see. That would break the Father's heart when I looked at it and I didn't turn away. We don't put things in front of our lives that will hinder our walk with the Father. Because when our walk is hindered, he can't give us the healings that we need. He can't give us the blessings he wants to give us. How many in here, the greatest thing is blessing your children? My wife fusses at me every day because I love blessing my three kids. I'll give them everything I have and I'll work for what I need. My joy is giving to Heather, Joseph, and Leslie. That's where my heart, but that could be a hindrance of God too. Because I'm trying to do what God is already doing, and I can't live up to it. I can't live up to it. But we, as a people, love to give to our kids, and she does fast. Okay, great kids too. Oh yeah, I'm gonna go the whole way. Oh yeah, if I'm gonna get punished, I might as well go all the way in the doghouse. Oh yeah, get in trouble. I know I got a father that's gonna take care of me. But these Israelites are in the wilderness and they don't know what to do with themselves. We're outside a church and we're having lunch or we're just sitting down and we have no idea what to do. Come on, people. We don't have it. I'm sitting there at work. I don't have a delivery to do. And I'm sitting there. I don't know what to do. How many times does that happen during the day? And what do? The devil comes in. Because he sees you don't know what you want to do. And he starts planting seeds. Why don't you grab your phone and start looking at social media? You might find something in there that you want to do. Let's go turn on the TV. Maybe you're going to see a show you hadn't seen in a while. And the Father's in the background saying, why don't you pull up the Word and start reading about me? And let's fellowship for a little while. You're never alone. You are never alone. You have a spirit that lives in you. That can talk to you, that can lead you, that can protect you. But you have to decide to visit with him. The Father, all he wants us to do is give his Son grace. He put each and every one of us on this earth so we can fellowship with him. Amen? Come on. He didn't put us on the earth to fellowship me and you. He didn't put us here. He put us to fellowship with him so we would have somebody to talk to. That's why we're here. So when we don't have anything to do, what do? Go to our Maker, what he created, his children, so we can fellowship with him. Start praising him. There's a lot of things we can do. But the children, the Israelites, didn't have what we have today. They didn't have 66 books in the Bible. They didn't have all of those things. They may have depended more on Moses than we depend on our pastor. But we have more things that can bring us to God than the Israelites have. So do we have an excuse? They didn't either, but they had more of an excuse than us. So what happened? They got with Aaron, Moses' brother, and said, we need an idol. We need an idol. We need something to worship to. And I don't understand why Aaron did what he did, because he knew God too. He knew God was there with him. He knew. But the devil knew what to tell the Israelites, tell Aaron, so he can get what he wanted. So he made them all take off their gold, throw it in the fire, they melted the gold. They made a calf. We don't make calves today to worship. We do have certain religions that have things that they bow down to, that they worship to, that they, other than the Father. But we have devices. It's not exactly an idol, but it could be called an idol by the way you use it. If you have a picture hanging on your wall and you love to see it and you don't worship to it and you don't bow down to it, that's perfect. I have crosses. I love crosses. You can make a cross any way you want to, and there's not many ways I don't like a cross. I have crosses all over my house. You can see them all over the wall, on this wall, on that wall. If somebody says, would you like me to get you? Hey, if you sign a pretty cross, maybe you can put it on the wall. But I do not pray to that cross. Because that cross didn't get my salvation. Jesus Christ did. And him crucified. It just happened they crucified him on the cross because that's what they did back then. That's what the Romans did. But then on any manner of way he got crucified. That is what we're talking about. So whenever anybody says you need to go to the cross, you need to go to Christ and him crucified, you have to go to. And you need to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. In his name, because he went to the cross and it is finished. So they made it. They started all that they had to do. Pastor's getting angry. It's true. You get angry is a strong word. Disappointed is a more accurate term for what he sees his people do. They do get disappointed. I'm not perfect. Everything I'm gonna do is not gonna be perfect. Joe knows that. Andrew knows that. Marjorie the most of them knows that. I'm not perfect. So things happen and we move on. But Moses got angry. Jesus, when he got to the temple and they were gambling and they were selling and they were exchanging money, and he got angry. It's okay to get angry. It's okay to get angry. It's what you do with that anger that keeps us Christian life. But Moses got real angry. And he showed the Israelites their wrong. Sometimes we need to be shown about our wrong. Speaking of the phone, every week now on Sunday I get an email telling me how long I've been on. I want to know. Because you're going to get on a device, or you're going to get on the TV, and the time's going to pass, and you won't know how long you've been on that. I want to make sure that number one, it tells me what each app that I'm in and how much time I spend in it. How much time I spend on the phone that week. And if that time goes up, I need to look at it and I need to readjust my thinking. It's not for Brother Joe to do it. It's not for Andrew to do it for me. It's not for even Marjorie to do it for me. It's for me to revive my soul. You want revival? It starts with you. Change. God will never change. We learned that in His Word already. So we can put that aside. We already know that. God will never change. We have to change. We change. I change every day. And sometimes that makes me feel bad because I have to change every day. But I do. I find something wrong and I fix it, just like you do at work. There's a procedure that you're doing at work that's not working. What you do, you change it. You start a new procedure. You don't even have to be at work. You could be a home mom or retired. And I wouldn't give up the minute here to save my life. I'm not going to do that, Mr. Jim. Every time I ask him in the morning, how you doing, he said, well, I woke up. And I know exactly what it means. That's a good thing. I was talking to Mr. Ronnie and Mr. Leonard the other day, and that's what we were talking about, was phones. How you can go into a restaurant and a couple sitting at a table and all you see them is looking at your phone. Well, the first thing I want to do is I want to judge them. And the Bible tells us not to do that. Because we don't know what they're looking at. They could be looking at pictures of their grandkids or their kids. They could be looking at their vacation. They could be texting each other. Texting my daughter in the house one night. I'm just a dog. There is good that comes out at each one. There's good on TV. You can. I started last night on TV, the youth conference. For Jimmy Swaggart was on this week, started Wednesday, it's going to finish tonight, and I got to listen to Donnie speak, and I did that on TV. I was learning God's Word, and that's what you do with devices. You don't look at a Western, well, you can't look at a Western, because those are probably the cleanest movies you'll ever see. Don't look at anything made after 1970. Because it starts going down. So, look at something. Or look at NCIS. You like that show? I do too. I like that a lot. Oh, yeah. It's not bad stuff. And none of that stuff is really bad. It's what you're doing with it. If you start spending time, more time with gives than you do the Father, then it's a problem. Me and my daughter, it used to be my son too, we used to work out every day until Joe and Jess got their membership, which is awesome. They're both looking great. They're both looking healthy. Now it's just me and Heather. We work out in the morning and we run in the morning, which is good. But we can make that an idol. if we're taking time away from God when we run, that's wrong. Or if we get to the point, and a lot of us may understand this, if you get to the point where I wake up in the morning, the first thing I want to do is run, that's wrong. Because what is the first thing you're supposed to do when you wake up? Spend time with God. Because that's the only way you're going to get your day started right. Christ and Him crucified. That should be the first thing you think of in the morning. And then you move on. But our exercising and all that, it can become a problem. Your work can become a problem. And the first thing you think about when you open your eyes is your work. It's a problem. And that work's not going to be well that day. Think about it the next time you wake up. And you start praising God for your job. And you start praising God for the things that you're going to be doing that day. Whether it's going on vacation, whether it's going on a job, whether it's just sitting home and spending time with Him. When you praise Him first when you wake up, and you talk to Him first, see how much different it is from the day that you don't. I heard something a while back, I may have said it, I'm gonna say it again. If God tomorrow would take away everything you didn't thank Him for today, how would you feel? Everything that you have in your life right now, if you didn't thank Him for it, and tomorrow He decided that you didn't need it anymore, if you didn't thank Him for it, how would that make you feel? Thanking Him, praising Him, lifting Him up, just spending time with Him. You don't have to be in the Word. I drive to work in the morning, and sometimes I turn off the volume and I just think about Him. And the stuff He reveals to me in just that few minutes of being. It's hard to get a preacher to be quiet. Ask any preacher. Ask any one of them. And back to Joe from earlier, that's exactly what I said when they told me I like preaching. That they seen it in me. Her brother seen it in me years and years before I even blinked an eye at it. And that's exactly, that'll never happen. There's no way I'm going to go up there with God all things. And with God, it's not up to you. If He wants to use you, He's going to use you. Ask Noah. Ask the one in the way.
Jonah.
Ask Jonah. He didn't want to go. I just hope God don't do what He did to Jonah to me to get me to do what He wanted me to do. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're going to do too. And I repented. And I said I was sorry. I didn't know what you had for my life. A lot of us still don't know our plans that He has for us. And maybe He just revealed half of the plan to us. He's got a lot more for each and every one of us. That's why we're still here. That's why we still give Him praise, honor, and glory. That's why we're worshiping Him. That's why we're testifying of Him. That's why we're doing all the things we're doing. It's because we're not finished with our plan. And He has for our lives. I have no idea what He has for me in the future. He has made me do a lot of things that I never thought I would do. Just start praying for a person on the side. I never did that before. I never walked up to a person and said, I'm going to pray for you. I always said, you want me to pray for you? Okay, I'll pray for you. And then walk away.
I did that over. But now, I'm up there and I'm saying, I need to pray for him. And I just started praying. That's something I never did before. I was chicken. It's just that simple. But he taught the Israelites what to do. Now, because of that, those Israelites, those initial Israelites, didn't get to see the promised land. As much as Job wants God to say, good job, good and faithful servant. I want him. I want to get every promise he has for me before I go to give him. Before he takes me up. I want to get every promise. I want to get every blessing. I don't want to miss out on a blessing. I don't want to miss out on anything. He has blessed me so much since me and Joe were in high school. And I wasn't even saved yet. The number of times he blessed me. Because I was his child. He took care of those Israelites. He still had the cloud by day and the fire by night until the end. Even though they rejected him and they didn't follow him every day. God's not going to leave you just because you start thinking about something else. He's there. He's in your heart. I learned that not at the last men's meeting, but two meetings ago we had. God is with us. He has the grace. He has the grace to forgive us. He knows each and every one of our hearts. And he knows. Oh, super, like Pastor said. He knows, oh, super. Oh, well, I'm sorry. The rain's going to start, so I'll just keep going. We're going to stop. We need to take control of our lives. We need to take everything we do in our lives and we need to prioritize. That's what I have to do at work. I have to take each position. I have to put a priority on each one. And each day, you need to work on your priorities because they'll change. We change every day no matter if you think about it or not. A lot of things we change, we don't even know it's changing. We just go with it. But that's how our God is. God is good. God is with us all the time. God will not leave nor forsake us. He said that. Not me. He will not leave nor forsake us. Paul didn't want to know anything but him, but Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. That's all he wanted to know. That's one thing we need to pick up from Paul. And that's one thing we need to carry through. It is going to happen, but thinking about Christ when you wake up, I know all of you are doing. I don't know about it. I let mountains get in my way of my God. And no one should. No one should. I hope this word helped someone in the world. I know it has helped me because I went places that I never planned on going to. But when I do that, I know these guys that I'm not doing myself. So when he's with you, it's awesome. He's with you, it's awesome. Stay with God. Put him first. Priority number one is always going to be God. My wife is not number one in my life. And she knows that. She's okay with me. Because she likes the man I am now compared to the man I was then. She likes him a lot better. And I know it's the truth for everyone in here. The change that comes, just remember, keep him first. Keep your priorities in love. Don't take his time away from them. It's just like taking your time away from your spouse or your mom or your dad.
Are you kidding me? Don't take time to live for them. Then keep with God. And I promise you're going to stop praying. Take this mountain away from me. And you're going to start praying. Father, give me the strength to get over this mountain. You want to do it. You want to get over the mountain. You don't want him to move for you. You want the strength that you can do it. And only he can give you that strength. Small as a mustard seed, it's over that mountain, go into the sea. You want to be able to do it. So ask God for the strength for you to move that mountain. Not for him to move it out here. That's not what you want. You want your faith to do the work for you. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, thank you, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. Pastor doesn't like to tell you something about asking. If y'all want to go ahead and stand. This Jesus Christ I've been talking about all morning. This Jesus Christ, do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ that was crucified? And when it was done, it was finished. Do you know this Jesus? Do you have him number one in your life? Do you have him living in your life? We're going to all pray together because I don't know how many Facebook watchers are not saved. And want to be saved today. And all they need to do is call on the name of Jesus. And we're going to all pray together that anyone that's not saved today will be saved. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and I lift up these few children to you. Forgive us of all our sins, Lord. We put you first in our lives. Come in and live with us, Lord. Live in our hearts, Lord, and be our Lord and Savior, Lord. Be our God this morning, Lord. Oh, we thank you for all the things you do in our lives, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. 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 All right.